Hello everyone, and welcome to a quick bonus episode on the sunny south side of Florence.
Woo!
On a Sunday.
On a Sunday. We're recording this on a Sunday. It's a sunny Sunday in Florence today. And we realise that a lot of people we've spoken to don't know the places that are open on Sundays. Mm-hmm. And so we just wanted to focus on, what's it called? The Oltrano?
Oltrano.
Oltrano. So it's the other side of the river. So the south side of the river. So not in the main city centre, but in the hipstery, artistic.
A lot of artisanal shops, local restaurants, family-run businesses, all closed on Sundays, a lot of them.
Yeah.
And then in August, they just all shut down.
Yeah, so this podcast may not work for August, but for the rest of the year, on a Sunday, here's all of our favourite places that are open on the south side of the river.
Woo!
So we've broken this down into some cultural stuff, coffee, cute garden-y places, food.
Food. Lots of food.
The touristy stuff that you'd see on the old Instagram or TikTok, the things that you kind of have to do to get your photo.
Yep.
Great places for drinks and a few extra tips. So let's dive right into it. The first section is all about culture and fun things to do.
So a quick side note on the people that don't know, the first Sunday of the month in Florence, all of the museums are free.
Yeah.
So if you come on the first Sunday, keep that in mind. There are larger queues because a lot of people are aware of this now.
They're absolutely horrible. Do not go to the Uffizi or the Academia. Academia is not too bad, actually, because it moves fairly quick.
If you time it right and you go to the right places at the right time, especially in the south side, you should have more luck.
So the best place to go, I feel, on the first Sunday, the one that's free, and the queue isn't too bad. I went there with Jamie and my brother, and we were only waiting for about maybe 10 minutes in line. To go into the Pitti Palace. Yep. So the Pitti Palace and the Boboli Gardens, you do have to just remember when you get into that queue, you still have to go to the tourist office to get a free ticket.
Yep.
So loads of people wait in the queue and then they get up to the top and they're like, where's your ticket? And they're like, I didn't realize. So yeah, I think that the Pitti Palace and Boboli Gardens are absolutely gorgeous thing to do. And the Pitti Palace is air conditioned. So especially in the height of the summer, you want to jump in there. But the Boboli Gardens are absolutely stunning as well. Just to note, you can't bring drones, you can't be in a wedding dress, and you also can't be in any costume.
There you go.
In the Boboli Gardens. So the next one is a museum we've been wanting to go to for ages. It was featured on the Richard Iowati's
Travel Man. Yeah.
And that is the Natural Museum. So it's called La Specola. But if you just look up Natural Museum, you'll find it.
It's been closed for four or five years.
Has it?
Yeah, four or five years. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, well, it's only €10 and there's lots of really cool things to see there. Obviously, a lot of dead animals.
There's a lot of taxidermy, yeah. Kind of dead animals.
So right up our street, really.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's €10 and it's well worth it. Our friend Jeremy went and he was just like, I got like 3 or 4 hours out of it. So if that's up your alley, then I would definitely check it out. The next one is, I'm going to let Cormac try and pronounce this one.
Okay, here we go. Alessandro Dari Gioeli, Museo del Gioeli, Atelieria e Scuola.
Not a clue, yeah.
Yeah,
so
we'll put it
in the description. We'll put it in the description. But what it is it's this little, it looks like a little Harry Potter shop. It's a jewellery shop. He's got loads of like weird kind of contraptions and it just looks like a wonderful, magical, witchy potion place.
So he has like some jewelries that he's made that are tiny, minuscule, and you need to look at them through a magnifying glass. But he has them all set up in the shop and it does look like the wand shop from Harry Potter.
It really does. It's super, super cute. And it's €5 to enter and you knock about 45 minutes out of it. So,
yeah.
And just... Our AI post-production may clean this up, but we are recording outside today because it's a beautiful day. So if you hear
beautiful sunny Sunday.
If you hear some birds chirping, that's why. But yeah, so €5, you knock 45 minutes out of it. Something a bit different.
Yeah.
And really good to take photos in there, I think. And then the final thing is just in
Santo Spirito.
There's a market every Sunday. So whole mix of stuff there. There's food, there's codes, there's furniture.
They have sandwiches, they have vintage clothing, they have furniture, then just kind of the whole kiosk full of tat, antiques.
Mm-hmm.
Santo Spirito itself is a really cool area. The church actually has a crucifix behind the altar carved by a 17-year-old Michelangelo, which is really cool.
There you go.
Yeah. Only open on Sundays, apparently.
Yes. So I think you do need to pay a very small fee to go in there to see it. But yeah, definitely.
I think it's less than €8.
Yeah. But Santo Spirito is really nice little area. Lots of bars, lots of restaurants, and it feels kind of Parisian. I don't know.
Yeah, there's a nice vibe to it. There's a fountain in the middle, some trees, a lot of locals, and then people who have lived in Florence for a long time hang out there.
Yeah, really, and nice there's lots of bars, cafes open around that square on a Sunday too. The next section is coffee, and Artigianale is by far my favorite coffee shop. I am an absolute. I'm one of those horrible people with an awkward order. I have now changed over to almond milk mochas. So they're absolutely delicious, but Artigianale, very pricey. You're talking Irish prices, you're talking city prices, maybe €4 for a cappuccino. But the coffee is absolutely delicious. And we have seen Jeff Goldblum in the Santo Spirito one three times now,
yeah. So shout out to Jeff if you're listening.
Yeah. So there's three Artigianales on the south side of the river, and they're all really nice. They've got little outdoor seating and nice indoor seating as well. Great place to go and work if you're doing a bit of work.
They also have like classic brunch things of like they do American style pancakes. They do poached eggs, scrambled eggs. They do kind of all the, it's kind of a traditional modern style cafe chain, but it's really good quality. And I have to say, like, we love it there. It's really, really nice.
Yeah. And it's a good way to kill an hour, but it is pricey. Just keep that in mind. The next place to talk about is Wild Buns. It's open until 3:30 on a Sunday, and it's a Scandinavian bakery.
So if you like your cinnamon buns and your breakfast bagels, that is the place to go.
Yeah.
They
don't have much seating, so it's kind of like a grab a takeaway coffee and go. But they do all the alternative milks, and they do cappuccinos. Yeah. They don't do mochas there, actually.
No.
But yeah, so if you just wanted something a bit different and get yourself a little Scandinavian pastry, then that's the place to go. And then finally, I'll let Cormo talk about the local experience.
Yeah, this one is Bar Pegaso. It is a very local cafe and their pastry shop. And apparently, according to our friends, they are probably the most authentic, best pastries you will get. And you don't see a single tourist there. No one knows about it. It's a very small place. They're also a tabacaria. So on a Sunday, that's really handy as well for any smokers out there. Bad on you. and us. But that it's is, really,
yeah, it's one of the only places you're going to get cigarettes on the other side of the river on a Sunday. So
for pastries, it's the absolute bomb dig.
Yeah, really, really nice. And they've got a little counter. You go up, get your espresso.
Yeah.
Very, very local. Very local place. The next section is cute garden places. It's our favorite thing to do on a day off, is to go and sit in all the beautiful gardens and grab a drink or grab a bit of coffee or food. So Santa Rosa is a really nice outdoor space. They've kind of got like a garden section on one side, and then they've got like a bar/restaurant that's made out of shipping containers. Loads of people go there to work, actually, remote working. But on Sunday they serve very traditional, a brunch. Like
they serve classic brunch.
Classic brunch, poached eggs, avocado toast, salmon, all that kind of stuff. They do coffees, they do really nice spritzes there. But yeah, I really like it. And a lot of people walk their dogs there, so it's a great place.
We call it the dog park because there's so many dogs. And it's just behind the old walls of Florence, so it's really enclosed, really beautiful space.
Yeah, gorgeous flowers in the summertime. The next place we've spoken about on another podcast, but it's called Rondinella. And you need to bring cash, it's cash only, but it's a place where all the locals go. It's called a Circolo. So it's actually run by, is it the running club?
No, it's the Calcio Storico. So the classic traditional game of Florence, which is fighting, rugby, UFC craziness. Look it up. It's at Calcio Storico. Absolutely insane. But it's a community bar.
It's a community bar. So it's cash only, plastic glasses. Prosecco isn't great, but big beers, big things of Moretti for €4. Grumpy staff, they only speak Italian, but it's right by the river, and big astroturf, plastic chairs, but cheap and cheerful.
They have a little section on the side as well that's literally just above the river with lounge chairs. And if you want to read a book or just chill out on a Sunday, if you're just absolutely wrecked from walking around Florence, the perfect chill out area. You can stay there for hours. There's no like reservations, no like high turn, like there's high turnover, but you'll always find a seat.
Old men playing cards, screaming at each other, doing bets, and
driving around their oxygen tanks, shouting at each other. It's just it's a classic Italian experience.
It is. And in the summertime, they do serve food in the evenings, kind of very basic pasta, gnocchi, but it's super cheap and it looks really good.
The quality looks absolutely incredible, and it's really busy for food. It's absolutely incredibly busy because it's a beautiful outdoor area.
Mm-hmm. And it's just you might have to pay a €2 entry fee just to get you get like a little card, but once you get your little card, you're a member then, and then you're free to enter all the time after that. But yeah, do bring your cash, and it's super cheap. The next place is called Il Conventino. So it's just a little garden in an old convent. It's now a co-working space for artists. Our friend Jeremy is a part of it. And
don't tell Jeremy that we've told everyone about his favorite workplace, but it is gorgeous. Courtyard area.
Very nice. Just grab a quick drink or grab a little coffee, espressos only. But it's just really nice if you want to sit in peace and quiet.
Just past a little place called Turcato Tasso, which is a little park. So it's just past there.
Our final outdoor space, it's a little bit further down the river, but it's near Piazza Michelangelo. So if you're on your way up or on your way down from Piazza Michelangelo, there's a place called Refrulo. So it's kind of like a hipstery bar. They do different plates. They do the meat and cheese boards. Pricey, but really cool.
Really good cocktail menu as well. Pricey again, but really, really distinguished. Actually, an Irish bartender.
There's an Irish bartender.
Adair Manor, which is a very famous place in Ireland. From America. A bartender there, he's made a new cocktail list, and it's meant to be absolutely incredible.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, great place if you're going to go and check out Piazza Michelangelo. So food. We've touched on Trattoria dell'Orto before.
Yeah.
We used to live right across the road from it. They have a little secret garden out the back, which you can sit outside for your lunch or for your dinner. In typical Florentine style, they're only open until about half two for the lunch, and then it closes down, and then it doesn't reopen until about half seven. So that is the trickier thing about Florence and about Sundays, is that most things close between 2 and 7. So there's 5 hours where you're trying to walk around and get food. So make sure you get a big lunch into you. Trattoria dell'Orto, very, very traditional. It's our favorite place to get the bistecca.
Yeah.
So the big T-bone steaks. But they would do really nice pasta dishes, really good meat dishes. And they also do a big what was that big fried platter you and my mom got?
Oh, we got the big mixed fish platter, fried fish platter. So it was like, there was octopus, there was squid, there was calamari, there was a little bit of everything. A couple of prawns thrown in there as well.
If you were looking for bulk.
But the quality of everything fried, like really light, like panko batter, it was
really nice.
Delicious.
The next place then is Osterio Santo Spirito. Same thing, traditional, great for the bistecas, great for the pastas.
Very famous, really, 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 really famous. So you will have to try and make a reservation. Yeah. They do have a WhatsApp number to make a reservation. They're very famous for handmade pasta. They make their own raviolis, which are meant to be absolutely incredible, with ricotta cheese inside. Mm-hmm. That's one of their specialities. But on the square again, you have about like 30 tables outside. Really, really beautiful like setting to have dinner or lunch in.
Yeah, a little bit more expensive than Trattoria dell'Orto, I believe. Only by €1 or €2 per dish.
Only one or two. It's probably on the same par, actually.
Yeah, but people do absolutely rave about it, but you do need to make a reservation. And it's on that Santo Spirito Square, so great if you're having a few drinks and then you pop over for dinner. Our final traditional one is Del Carmine, or Trattoria del Carmine.
Trattoria del Carmine,
And we have walked past this restaurant so many times and we really want to go in, but we just missed it. We've just had so many.
So my old friends from the bar I used to work in are all Fiorentine locals. They don't speak any English. And I was asking for a long time, where should I go for steak? And they were all arguing with themselves, as Italians do.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually one of them said, oh, Carmine. And then they all just went, yeah, nodded in agreement and said, that's one of the best traditional places that has left. It's not like the highest review, like not many reviews online. So you would look at it and be like, oh, maybe not. But it is always full, really busy. And the smell coming out of that kitchen just on the street is
it's amazing.
Incredible.
Yeah. And it's just the locals. It's the locals' place to go.
Again, same thing. 2:30 we'll close for lunch, and then we'll reopen around, I think it's 7:15.
And then we just have two other options for alternative food. New Delhi is our favorite Indian in all of Italy. It's absolutely amazing. It opens for lunch and it opens for dinner. I think it opens for lunch until about 3:30 and then it reopens at 7:30. But the dishes are out of this world. Get the lamb, get the ghost curry. It is the bee's knees.
It's a family run restaurant, father and son in the kitchen, mother and daughter in the front. They have the classic steel picnic tables as their tables inside. There's only about 5 or 6 tables. But if you're looking for authentic Indian food, just in what looks like a very cheap like setting, it is absolutely the best Indian food we've had.
Yeah, it's really good. So we'd recommend getting a chicken dish, getting a lamb dish, and then getting a mixed vegetable biryani as your rice dish.
Yeah.
And sharing that, get a naan. They don't do onion bhajis. They don't do papadoms. They don't do kind of any of that. Their sagaloo as well is absolutely out of this
world.
Yeah,
so if there's any like vegetarians or vegans going there, like I highly recommend as well. Because we actually have a friend who's a vegetarian who lives right around the corner. And he says the one place he goes for like a takeaway if he's feeling lazy, because it's just the vegetarian Indian dishes there are incredible.
And that brings us swiftly on to our last recommendation for any of those veggies or vegans out there, which is Santo Falafel, just around the corner from Santo Spirito. They're the best falafel place in all of Florence.
Yeah.
If you're looking for something a bit healthy, it's really good. Or if you're looking for something slightly unhealthy, they do the world's best chips. I just am obsessed with them. They're €9, but it's a huge portion. It'll feed 3, like, you know. But they are the best chips and they're open all day. So if you get stuck in the middle of the day and you don't know where to go for a bit of grub, Santo Falafel is the job.
Yeah.
So now we move on to kind of touristy shite. So the things the things that all the tourists do that you see on the Instagram or on the TikTok.
So one of the biggest ones when people come to Florence is the wine windows. Wine windows are little hatches built into restaurants that they serve wine from. You ring a bell, you have a selection of about 4 or 5 different drinks and you get it, you drink it on the street, usually in plastic glasses. But Bebe is one of the newer restaurants that kind of brought the tradition back after COVID. And it is just full with Instagrammers, TikTokers. It's the number one place. But on that side of the river, it is still a very high quality place. I'm now working with a bartender. He used to work there for cocktails. And I know from him, like, their cocktail list is incredible for inside. They do a lot of like alternative brunch menus and lunches as well. So if you're looking for something a little bit more like market, but still kind of Italian traditional, fight through the queues and get there. If you're if you're willing to kind of experience it, then queue up and wait.
Everybody gets their Instagram photographs taken there. And also they have the restaurant inside. So, and apparently they do really good desserts.
Yeah.
Their chocolate pistachio cake is meant to be out of this world. So if you want to grab a little drink and a dessert, that's the place to go. The next one is just an old school photo booth.
Yeah.
It's located just around the corner from Santo Spirito as well. Everybody goes and gets their old school photographs taken.
Well, all in black
people
and
get
white.
Their photos taken in the photo booth for Instagram and then put up their
photo booth
photos. But there's a few photo booths dotted around the city, but that one near Santo Spirito is one of the busiest ones, so it's pretty cute. And then Piazzale Michelangelo. Everyone has probably spoken about it on every recommendation.
Yeah.
It's on the south of the river. It's up a big, massive hill. So enjoy climbing that, although there are stairs. It's where you go, you sit on the steps, bring a little picnic or bring some wine, or there is a little kiosk up there where you can get some cheap beers or some wine and just watch the sunset over the city. It is the most amazing place to look over the entirety of the city. And yeah, it's everybody would recommend it.
What I would recommend though is before that, as you come, so if you're at Rifrullo, the bar just at the base of the hill of Michelangelo, just in an area called San Nicolo, there is a little garden off the side called Giardino della Rose, Garden of the Roses. It has a little cafe and bar where you get nearly as good as a view. But you can sit there and it's a lot less busy because people go straight to Michelangelo and they don't go to this garden because it's just like, it looks like it's the same and it's hard to find. But if you go up past Rifolo through the old gate, you'll find the steps that leads directly up into Garden of the Roses.
Yeah.
And that would be my recommendation.
Dawning during the summertime.
And it's hilarious because on Google Maps, it's just called Bar. The bar is just called Bar.
Nice. I like it.
But it's beautiful. It's quiet. And it'll do live music and stuff there as well, apparently. And that's really cool. If you're just looking for something quiet, that'd be my recommendation.
Then our final section is drinks. You know, we're Irish. We like a drink or two. So
just one or two.
Just one or two. So just to get a beer or to get a wine or to get a spritz in that Santo Spirito area, if you don't know which one to go to, Pop Cafe is definitely our favourite.
Yeah.
The staff are not the best there, I'll just warn you now. Can be a little bit snappy.
Yeah.
Yeah, the service isn't amazing, but the drinks are good.
But yes. Yeah, sometimes the staff, it's a very busy place. It must be very stressful.
Yeah. But then obviously your workplace.
Yeah, so the Loggia Rooftop Bar, it's actually a little less known. So when you're standing on the square, just in the bottom right corner is the Palazzo Guagnani Hotel. And we have a rooftop terrace that overlooks the whole west side of the city.
Different view, yeah.
It's yeah, but it's stunning up there. The location is amazing.
The service is okay.
I'll back myself for the service. It's just been bang average. You know, it's a really nice place. The cocktail menu there is very different. Really high quality.
You do have to make a reservation if you're going up to the Loggia because it gets really busy in the summer. If you make a reservation online, you can stay there for an hour and a half. Without a reservation, if you manage to get a space, you can only stay there for an hour. So do make sure that you make a reservation. I would recommend going up and sharing a bottle of Prosecco or a bottle of wine. It's about €45 upwards, but €45, you get your nibbles, you get your bottle of Prosecco.
And if you come up and ask for Cormac and you meet me, I might be able to get you a sneaky glass of Prosecco, but don't tell anyone about it.
Two more for the bars. So Mysterium is my favorite cocktail bar in all of Florence. They are really nice in there, and they do the world's best Cosmo I've ever had, and I swamp them. Little bit pricey, actually very pricey, but
very pricey place, but it's a classic high quality cocktail bar.
Yeah. And they've got a few outdoor seats, but it's more of an indoor late night, dark, moody, sexy kind of cute date night place, I have to say.
The last place is just my favorite.
It's amazing.
It's called Cafe Notte. It's a dying breed. It really is. It's a bistro bar where it's just tiny little place. It has two alcoves outside. Four seats outside, but the little tables are in, and you're in a little snug, outdoor snugs. Like, that should be a thing in Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
But it's high quality drinks. They have a really small cocktail menu, but you can get like house wine for €10. You can get different size meat and cheese boards ranging from, I think, is it 8, 12 and 20 now?
No, it's 6, 12, 18, 24.
Okay, okay.
If the two of you wanted a huge meat and cheese platter for €12, it's absolutely out of this world. To get just like a glass of Prosecco, it's €3.50. For a bottle of Prosecco, it's €14. You can get like a glass of wine for as cheap as €2.50 for a red wine. Their Negronis are how much? 6 or 7?
The Negronis are €6. And I will say, I wasn't always a fan of Negronis until one of my colleagues brought me there, and they are one of the best Negronis I've ever had.
Yeah, you get one all the time now.
Extremely strong.
Yes.
But so, so good.
Yeah. And so their food goes all day. They do little mini pizza kind of things as well. They also do boiled eggs.
They just have hard boiled eggs behind the counter, which Italians seem to love.
Yeah.
Which is hilarious.
But they do serve food all day, and they're open all day, which is amazing. So again, if you get caught in between that slot where you're starving hungry, definitely go and get a meat and cheese platter there. Cheap as chips.
Really, really cheap, but a very authentic locals bar, bistro. Incredible. You'll see like couples in there just sharing a bottle of wine in the afternoon, or like old guys with their newspapers and their coffee.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just really, really beautiful vibes.
Yeah. And the beers are 400 mils, but they are frosted glasses and they're €5. So you can't beat a €5 beer.
What do you need?
Yeah. So that's it. That's your perfect Sunday plan.
South Bank Sunday plans.
Yeah. So again, we've had so many people just say, what the hell is open on a Sunday?
Yeah.
But they're all guaranteed to be open. We cannot guarantee that they'll all be open in August, but every Sunday, that's where you should go. We hope you've enjoyed this bonus podcast. Please make sure to follow and give us a 5-star review. You can find us on all social media at The Irish Podcast. And we'd really love if you followed us on TikTok. If you have a TikTok profile, as we're building our rep now.
We're building it all up. Thank you so much for listening, and we will catch you in the next one.
Catch you in the next one.